Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, this was a weekend of celebration, of renewal, of rebirth, of springtime. Is there any of that available for the Lakers going forward? That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends, no matter how you get your podcasts, Andy, less on weekends now, but how you get your podcasts, where you get your podcasts, we're always available for you and never, ever behind a paywall.
Nope.
Unless you put us there and that's your own fault. We are going to talk a little bit of playoffs. I don't know why you would. I'm just saying that's the only way we'd get there. Playoffs started this weekend. Of course, the Lakers aren't in it, but it got me thinking. So we'll try to get to that. But first, Andy, I mentioned rebirth and renewal and springtime. So much of that is built around young talent.
I thought you were going to say around Easter bunnies and holidays and church and a particular holiday called Easter.
Well, there's that. But,
I mean, there was a lot of... Thematic setting up going there. So I thought it was going to be either or.
I'm trying to tie this in.
Yes.
You came across an interesting list on ESPN that illustrates the bind that the Lakers are in.
Yeah. ESPN had a list up right now. It polled three writers, and off the top of my head, I don't remember which
Doesn't
three.
Matter.
Sure. Well, I wanted to give credit if possible. Bobby Marks and Kevin Pelton and Mike Schmitz, and they were going through the top 25 players in the NBA under 25, building a consensus between the three of them. And obviously the Lakers weren't going to have anybody on this list, but
they barely have any players under 25.
Right, exactly. I mean,
my bigger concern actually is they wouldn't have enough players on the top 25 players over 35 list, which is like half their roster.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many different ways that you can rank and re-rank LeBron before you start running into problems. But I took a look at the list because I was curious to see how many in basically trying to comparison shop the Lakers in this particular regard, I was curious to see how many teams had at least one player on this list. And it turns out the answer is 17. It's Memphis, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Sacramento, Houston, Miami, Phoenix, Cleveland, Charlotte, Indiana, Toronto, New Orleans, Minnesota, OKC, Detroit, Boston, and Dallas. All of them have, according to these three ESPN writers, all very good ones, all very good analysts, at least one of the top 25 players under 25. So that's more than half the league. So then I was like, all right, how many of those teams that aren't in that 17 are at least in the playoffs? And it turned out there were six of them: Milwaukee, Utah, Denver, Chicago, Brooklyn, and Golden State. And just on a side note, Jordan Poole should be on this list of 25 players.
It was probably,
under 25.
If he's not there, he's awfully close.
Right, exactly. I'm just surprised he wasn't. Mm-hmm. So that leaves seven teams that don't have at least one player, Brian, on this list or aren't in the playoffs. And that includes the Lakers, obviously. So I decided to take a closer look at the particular boat that the Lakers are floating around this ocean on. And this is the company that they are currently keeping. And this, to me, really drives the situation that the Lakers are dealing with right now. The Knicks, who've seemingly had one good season of a gap year between bleep show and bleep show, and folks are already souring on Tibbs, already souring on Randall. The direction of the organization after seemingly being on the right track seems to be Knicks gonna Knicks. Orlando, which is an absolutely, by the way, scathing indictment of what they've been doing since Dwight left.
Like everybody. Like they've got some decent young players. Like you look at that roster, like Jalen Suggs. I would want Jalen Suggs on my team. Cole Anthony is a pretty good player and all this. But like, there's nobody on that list where you go, I want that guy. Like, I gotta have that guy.
Yeah. They don't have anybody under 25. And it's not because, you know what? They had two or three really good ones, but they traded them for superstar X.
Oh, no.
It's just an indictment of they are
a ton of players under 25. They're just all not that good.
Oh, that really, again, drives home how bad they've been doing.
Like, Orlando would have like six guys on the middle 25, like 50 through 75th best players under 25.
Not as many like, as you think.
Like guys most likely to be your seventh best player under 25. Like that can be the magic.
Here we go. Yeah. They might represent well on that list. The Blazers, who are a mess right now, they're sort of in a rebuild, but wanting to be competitive with Dame remains to be seen how it's going to be handled in the post Olshay era. Didn't
try to win much at the end of this year, that's for sure.
No, but they are not in an ideal place right now. The Wizards, who are a very messy franchise, they've been all over
Portland
the place.
East, a lot of Portland East going on there with Bradley Beal.
Yep, exactly. That's actually a great comparison. You know, it's going to be interesting to see where they go with Porzingis, who I'm not a fan of, and I've never really been a fan of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kuzma had a really good season. But there are, to be generous, question marks.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs, and there's a little bit of uncertainty with Spurs, with Pop's future and where things go from there. But they are at least well-run. They've got a couple solid young prospects. And they've got DeJounte Murray, who just turned 25, or else he'd be on this list. He is a legit two-way star player. He's an all-star. He's a most improved player finalist. Like, they at least have something. The Clippers, who are in a situation that is similar to the Lakers, problems built around two stars with availability issues. They made big moves around the same time as the Lakers when the Lakers got AD. They've been pitted against each other. They got to the Western Conference Finals once, but on balance, it has underwhelmed, particularly the Kawhi piece of it. But you can at least say that they have built their team sensibly, if not without some risk. They have a great coach who should be coaching the Lakers. And they've done they've done a really good job, at least with players three and down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
who you can look at with all of these teams and say their place might be the most treacherous.
Well, Andy, I will say this: they have the worst collection of players under 25 in the NBA. Because look, we were making fun of Orlando, and because why not? It's not even like the Magic fans are going to come like troll our board, like, you know, whatever. But Talen Horton-Tucker.
All seven of them have more important things to do.
Exactly. Talen Horton-Tucker, Austin Reeves, which is what we're talking about here.
Yep.
Aren't better than Jalen Suggs or Cole Anthony or even like Mo Bamba or some of those guys who are disappointments or whatever. Portland has Anfernee Simons, who is better. Anfernee Simons was awesome.
Yeah.
Over the second half of the season after Dame got hurt, to the point that they had to ask him to stop playing because he was a little too effective. So they needed him to sit down.
We're going to politely request that you stop doing this.
Whoa, Anfernee. I know we've been waiting for you to arrive and all that. You need to dial it back and you can't. And so we're just going to have to go ahead and sit you down. What do you think hurts? We'll let you choose. Okay, so give me another. What was another team there?
That's it. Those are it.
You mentioned San Antonio. San Antonio has DeJounte Murray, who just passed through that threshold. Yeah. Keldon Johnson has performed as a pro better than THT and Austin Reeves. I forget how old Jakob Poeltl is, but he's in his late 20s. Like they've got a collection of decent, you know, Devin Vassell,
yes,
as arguably even a better pro than either of the two guys we're talking about here with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And people like what Josh Primo did near the end of the year and all this stuff. I say this for a couple reasons. Here's the first one. The Lakers have no good players under 25. Like nobody you would look at and say, this is a foundational piece for our team.
Right.
They have guys that you could look at and say, this guy could be a rotational player on our team. But nobody you would look at and say is foundational. And that matters. Like THT right now is seen as much as potential trade bait, which is a disappointing thing in the sense that I think everybody kind of hoped he would be better. And you'd be trading him at the lowest part of his value. And so you've got that. The second, you know, and I'll hold the second part of this because, you know, we'll do it after the break, because when you try to think about where the Lakers are going forward and compare what they have to what other teams have, it puts their situation in perspective. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Athletic Greens. I started taking their AG1 because I'm someone who's always trying to find different ways to improve my health through more vitamins, improve my immune system, better digestion, the whole nine. But like, look, I'm a busy guy. I got a podcast to co-host and other items, you know, family, they're always a pain in the ass. Like, I don't have time to do all of that health stuff separately. And that's what makes AG1 just perfect for me. Every morning, first thing, I get my scoop of AG1, I mix it in some cold water, boom, 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, all there to help me start my day. Athletic Greens, their company created because their founder experienced gut health issues and ended up on this complicated, convoluted supplement routine to recover. Cost him $100 a day. He decided there has to be a better way because, frankly, dying from all this is a better way.
More cost effective, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it really is. At some point, you just say, this ain't worth it, man. But he, because he's got some ingenuity and gumption and all that, he came up with a solution that costs less than $3 a day. AG1, it works for every lifestyle, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, artificial anything, but it still tastes great. It's got this little nice tropical hint to it. I really enjoy it. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you need to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NBA network. Take ownership over your health. Pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
You know, Andy, as long as we're talking about health, I just want to say this was me before Built Bar. the old guy from Squid Game.
Mm-hmm.
This is me now. So before,
after. By the way, not to give away anything, but I'm just going to say right now, more to that guy than meets the eye.
Truly.
That's all I'm going to say.
And have you tried the Puffs, the Built Bar Puffs? If you haven't, you're missing out on one of the best tasting Built Bars out there. Puffs are the first ever protein infused marshmallow, fluffy marshmallow, not just a protein bar. They're a treat. Who doesn't like that? Covered in 100% real chocolate. Puffs are a fan favorite. Some incredible flavors like cinnamon churro and coconut marshmallow and banana cream pie. They're going to be your new favorite too. And again, 100% real chocolate covering every inch of these puffs. Low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with one of these things. They're better. And you cut down on the calories. And meanwhile, you're getting very low sugar, very low net carbs, but you're getting 17 grams of protein. And that's the good stuff. So you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 again for 15% off at built.com. You go from this guy to this guy. That's right. That's,
ooh, whoa.
I'll do that.
He is in shape, though.
No, he is. He's fit. So we were talking about like this list, this ESPN list of 25 players under 25. And it's not necessarily a shock that the Lakers don't have anybody on the list. I mean, obviously not.
Not necessarily. I hope that during the setup of this list and the premise of this conversation, we gave you guys enough time to catch your breath when you found out that the Lakers
hold on
didn't have.
I'm going to press pause and review the roster.
Yeah. I mean, whew, I hope anybody driving while listening to this show managed to maintain their composure. And we didn't put somebody into an accident.
Okay, yes. It is fairly obvious that nobody on the Lakers would be on this list. There's nobody even close. And that's the thing. And like, and moreover, they don't have access, easy access, conventional access to anybody that would end up on a list like that. And I like Austin Reeves. I think the Lakers found a gem as an undrafted free agent, and they deserve credit, as the scouting staff has done, for finding another winner. THT was a disappointment. But remember, we're talking about a second round pick here. He put up 40 in what was it, the third to last game of the season, second to last game of the season. I understand, like, it's not consistent. It's not, but the guy has, you know, talent. That is something that not every player can do.
It's important to remember with THT, he's not yet 22. And the truth is, he was not ready for the role that the Lakers carved out for him by virtue of who they did bring back, who they didn't bring back, the roster that they created. That's far more the fault of the Lakers than THT. THT entered this season having not played a total of 82 regular season games.
And it's also not his fault that the contract that he was signed to is a lousy one for the Lakers, both because if THT does blow up next year, he's going to opt out and you're going to have to pay him more. But if you want to try to trade him, the team that you want to trade to has the same problem. If he turns out to be really good, then they're going to end up having to pay him more. And if he doesn't, then, well, now we have this guy that we don't miss out on. That's not THT's fault. I would happily, most teams, I think, would happily take a player of his caliber on their roster.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, Andy, he's not so good that you look at him and go, ooh, like that's something like, I mean, it's raw. It could take a little while. But that is something different. There, you don't look at THT and go, that's different. That's a star. That's a guy who could, if we play our cards right, we're talking about a potential, you know, fringe all-star, sixth man of the year or something. I don't look at that. Every team in the league, almost every team in the league, not all of them, because you laid out the list, has a THT, has a player that they look at and say, with a little bit of time and a little bit of development, this kid could turn into something really good. For Portland, it was Anfernee Simons for a couple of years. And now,
okay,
I'm just saying that he's not unique. And that's part of the problem.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm going to push back a little bit when you said that he doesn't seem like a fringe all-star or sixth man of the year. I actually think the best version of what we've seen this year from THT does look like somebody who maybe could be a sixth man of the year type candidate as a score, you know, primary, secondary playmaker off the bench. The problem is, until he starts developing better off-ball utility or much better defensive skills, he's not a guy that you look at and think, okay, he's somebody that will complement your number one guy or your number two guy really well, because he doesn't do much off the ball or without the ball in space, you know, spacing the floor, right, whatever.
He can't space the floor. He's good on the ball, both as a passer and a scorer.
Right. He doesn't, for the time being, and again, he is really young with a lot of years ahead of him, but for the time being, he is not somebody that you look at and say he complements an established star really well. So until he gets some of those skills, you wonder, okay, is sixth man of the year maybe where his ceiling is, which is nothing to sneeze at.
That would be phenomenal.
Right. But that also, though, if you look at that as the ceiling, then it does in some ways lower how a team is going to see you.
But also, too, it's just, I mean, from a practical standpoint, we can debate what we think his ceiling is. Whatever it is, he better be a long way from it. Fringy sixth man of the year candidate is a long way from what THT was.
For what it's worth, I think he actually is a long way from his ceiling. I think the problem is, though, the Lakers, again, put him in a position where he wasn't ready to do what was needed from him. Again, that's on the Lakers, not on THT.
When you look at it, and it's not an apples to orange comparison because, you know, the context is different. Who they were playing with was different. What they were trying to do was different. All that stuff. Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green in Houston. That was a train wreck of a season. But like those guys finished the season, the last 10, 15 games, the Rockets were still losing left and right. It didn't result in wins. But if you're a Rockets fan, if you're listening to Locked On Rockets right now, you can kind of go into the offseason. There's a ton of uncertainty, but you go, man, those two dudes can play. And they showed some chemistry near there. Now they got way more time on the floor. And it's not, you know, there are no veterans to take their playing time away. They weren't trying to make the playoffs. But you don't look at anything what the Lakers have with young talent and get excited by it. And so while they are good, and this is one of the things I find, I mean, I've tried really hard actually this weekend to think of like, what are some optimistic things we could talk about with this team? We've seen, you know, it's been very negative for reasons everybody understands, and trying to think of something that I could kind of look at and go, here's something to feel really good about going forward. And I don't have a lot of those. And I think the Lakers can find more Austin Reeves type players. I think they can find more. I do not think they will make the same mistake next year of defaulting to the veteraniest of veterans on a lot. I think they're going to go try to find young dudes and throw a bunch of those guys at the wall and see what sticks. But, you know, have at least, at the very least, have more athleticism on this roster. But the guys who are going to be available to them are dart throws, are people like Stanley Johnson, who was out of the league, or Wenyen Gabriel, who was out of the league, and players like that. A couple of them will hit, a few of them won't, but the chances are even the ones that hit are 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th players on a good team, which is a great find at the minimum. But that's not going to get the Lakers where they need to go. And it's not what we're talking about when we talk about young talent. And so they're in a really deep hole when it comes to finding accessible, high-end talent. And that's stuff that helps rosters be good. You have Kyle Kuzma not making that much money, but playing like a $7 or $8 or $9 million player. You have, you know, just young dudes like that, Alex Caruso, who fills a huge role defensively, making $1 million. Like, those things boost your payroll and boost your roster in ways that the Lakers just aren't going to be able to do unless they do extraordinary work in free agency this offseason. And that's as good as they've been, Andy. I think that is too much to ask of any scouting department. There's too limited amount of those guys available.
Well, I mean, swinging it back full circle, that's the big reason that this list, which again, like in the most shallow way of looking at it, you'd say if you're a Laker fan, you don't really have any interest in looking at this in the first place because it's clearly not going to involve the Lakers. But the more I dug into this thing and the more I started thinking about it, it really just reinforced how thin a line the Lakers are going to be walking, this razor's edge of trying to make themselves in win-now mode. They're going to have to retool an entire roster and try to create something on the fly that really works with very little continuity. But at the same time, it's like, okay, if let's just say you start recognizing after next year, presumably LeBron, AD still on this team, you know what? We've maxed what we can get from the two of them together. There's still injuries. Age really starts showing for LeBron in ways that, of course it would. He's in year 20. He's played roughly a billion minutes. Like, all of these things start catching up. Where they go from here is also a hell of a
thing. It's all so murky. And right. I know, look, it's, you want to find things to be optimistic about. You want to find things. We always want to be honest. We always want to be honest on this show. That is, well, like,
I think that's why people listen to this show.
I think it's, I mean, that is something we have done and tried to do since we started in this line of work.
Yep.
It explains in part why we're no longer doing it on a pre and post game show, but it's hard. I mean, even like, I think we'll get off this in a second. You know, I mentioned Anfernee Simons with Portland. Like, they're not everybody on that list, but you look and go, ooh, okay. Anfernee Simons is coming. He could be on that list, like, in a year. Nasir Little played really well before he got hurt. Like, they got dudes. They got dudes.
Jordan Poole should be on this list, even though Golden State is in the playoffs.
Right, like, and Golden State doesn't need players under 25, but you look,
it sure helps, damn right
it does. Think how much better they'd be if Wiseman was, you know, like a real thing. But like, think about
Kuminga could be on that list next year.
Exactly. Think about what
Moody could be on that list
to have Kuminga, who's played very effectively for them this year, be a contributor at a, you know, lottery pick, but like a rookie, you know, a rookie deal,
rookie scale deal.
And think about, too, the comp with the Clippers that I think actually is similar to THT is Terrence Mann, who has a better contract in terms of how it's structured than THT does. But they were really hoping that Mann would bring them more than he did this year. And I didn't watch.
He picked it up as the season went along.
He did, but I didn't watch closely enough to be like a perfect grader of Terrence Mann, but he wasn't quite what they wanted him to be. Like THT, and you look kind of.
Well, his contract in a couple of years starts becoming more steep.
In a couple of years, but they're not there yet. Nope. All right, but the playoffs started this weekend, Andy, and it got me thinking kind of themes like the one that we're talking about. So let's look at the playoffs and what these teams that are playing have, other than, you know, more good players, that the Lakers don't. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Get all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including the NBA playoffs. First weekend is now in the books. You've also got Major League Baseball in full swing. They've got great MLB previews up right now at BetOnline.net. The season, again, still very young. You can still get an idea of how you want to bet over the long haul. As anybody would know, Dodgers, so funny. My wife is a massive Dodger fan, and my wife also takes this stuff very seriously and does not roll well with losses of any kind. She was talking with my daughter, I think it was on Thursday the game was on, and my daughter asked how the Dodgers were doing, and my wife said, well, you know, they've been off to a slow start. I'm like, they're 4-2. And since she said that, they have not lost. So they seem like a pretty solid bet at the moment. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, more. So head to the website today, use your mobile device, learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the games start.
Before we get to the last thing here, just as so people understand, like, the 25th player on this list is Jaren Jackson. You know,
he's
a damn good player.
He could have been defensive player of the year. He's going to make the all defense team for sure.
Foundational quality player in Jaren Jackson. So he himself had sort of a vaguely disappointing season and still kind of cranked it up there. But like, you got to be real good.
Speaking of Memphis, Brian, Memphis was one of two teams that had three players on this list. Memphis had Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane. Talk about a great find. I'm going to talk about, that's a well-run organization.
It is. And the Lakers, the problem with the Lakers is they don't have access to finding Desmond Bane. They don't have enough. I mean, they can buy into the second round. They can do stuff like that, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard for them to do it. And when they do make these investments, they got to make them right. And I actually have a lot of faith that the Lakers can draft well. If they can, the limited amount of second round picks they have, and I don't have the list in front of me because it's very confusing, but they can buy their way into the second round, and they damn well better. Like, this is the only way they have to access players or find the diamonds in the rough, like Austin Reeves, and try to develop them.
Can you guess really quick before we go? I said Memphis is the one of two teams with three players on this list. Can you guess the other one?
Phoenix?
No, Phoenix has one player. DeAndre Ayton was the only player.
Oh, is Booker's too old? And I think is Bridges too
Bridges,
old?
Bridges, I believe, is too old too.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really, this is like the how much are people going to make on the free agent market game. I'm really bad at it because I don't remember how old people are.
I'll give you a hint. Eastern Conference team.
Atlanta? They've got two. They've got at least two.
They have two.
Collins and Trae Young.
Yep.
Is there a third?
Nope.
No.
Eastern Conference team.
I would think Mobley is. Cleveland.
You are correct. It is
Mobley.
Evan Mobley.
Jared Allen and Darius Garland.
Yeah, you're correct. Nice work. Right,
that's pretty good.
So, Cleveland, actually, for all the heartbreak they've been through and, you know, what do you do when you don't have LeBron? They've positioned themselves in the last couple of years really well. And man, did they, when they decided to jump into that deal with the Nets and the Rockets to get Jared Allen, who for reasons I will never understand, Brooklyn decided to move. They made out so well.
Oh my God. That was a great deal.
Like, they just jumped in from my understanding of them, reading them out, like, just kind of snuck into that thing out of nowhere.
like sliding into someone's trade DMs. It's like they're just
seriously. That's really what they did.
So, but like, you know, those are good examples. Like I was watching the playoffs this weekend, and there were a lot of great series and a lot of great games. What really struck me, other than just like obviously these are better teams with, you know, better rosters and all that kind of stuff, but like you look around at all these teams and like all of them have a middle class and they have a roster where the concept of the roster makes sense. The model even for what the Lakers are, it's starting to look a little bit outdated. We're going to try to get Kevin Arnovitz, who's written about this, one of our favorite people in the NBA, one of the smartest dudes you'll find in any profession, but certainly as an NBA writer. Like it's just this idea of throwing stars at something and figuring it out that way. Your stars had better be overwhelming.
Well, I mean, when you mentioned the star model and the Lakers, you know, they try to set themselves up as a big three that clearly didn't work, but they brought in three max player guys, if nothing else. And the lack of attention to detail, and talked about this a lot, the lack of prioritization in my mind in terms of the way they've treated anything but stars, but for the purpose of these conversations, role players. The Lakers have always been a star effort, star-driven organization. And look, it's a star-driven league. But the Lakers should look at their own history and recognize that, yes, Showtime was Magic and Kareem and Worthy, three of the top 75 of all time, Hall of Famers, you know, but and a guy like Jamal Wilkes can get overlooked in a situation like this. He's a Hall of Fame player, but by Lakers standards, he becomes a sort of, you know, not a role player, but he isn't seen as a superstar. But guys like Michael Cooper, mm-hmm. like Byron Scott like Kurt Rambis, Michael Thomas.
These are all better than average players.
Yes, and they made a huge deal for what they did. The Kobe Shaq era, Derek Fisher, Rick Fox, Robert Horry, Brian Shaw. Those guys all made really big differences. Horace Grant during one of the years that they won the championship, 2001. The Kobe Powell years, Fisher again, Ron Artest, Trevor Ariza, you know, Andrew Bynum's as a guy still developing, coming up, even with the talent you knew was there. Those guys mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, Kobe and Powell or Kobe and Shaq or the big three of Showtime, that obviously puts you over the top. But the guys that you surround them with, they bring out the best in your stars too. It's not just the stars that bring out the best in those role players. It's actually really symbiotic.
And it's just also too, like, you know, last point on this, the league is too good now. The league is too well scouted. It is too well coached. It is, you know, all of that stuff now to where you can just sort of those supporting details don't matter. Like you can, if you put together a smart enough roster with the right guys, like they do in Miami every year and all that, You can get by with not having the starriest of stars, because you can do a bunch of other things, and you pretty much every player you put on the floor is going to be a net positive. And like, you know, that's where the Lakers need to get. And it's less about stars and it's more about putting a lineup together where you can say these guys are all a net positive. They barely had NBA players on the floor for most of the season, mm-hmm. And even when LeBron and AD and Westbrook all played, they were only 11 and 10. And so it's not like it was an overwhelming number then. So a lot of work to do. This is the first full week post-exit interviews. So we'll start sinking into that. Again, let us know guests that you're interested in. We are tracking down some people that we want to have on the show and want to talk to, but we definitely want to get some voices that you guys are interested in as well. Leave that for us on the Locked On Lakers YouTube page, on our iTunes page. You can tweet us at Cam Brothers. We'll see everybody Tuesday.